I'd like to make at the beginning of the meeting some good news for you folks over at Greenfield. Brother Milo Vandercall will be over at your meeting tonight, the Lord willing. When is your meeting? 7:30? 7:30 in Greenfield. And our meeting here tonight, the Lord willing, Brother Ken Baird expects to be here for the gospel meeting tonight, and also Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights here. Ken will stay with us Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights at 7:30. Hearty invitation to all of you to come. And as to the speakers this afternoon, did you get Robert talked into taking part of it? He's going to take part of it. Okay. Well, then I'll announce the speaker for this afternoon. I think in this order, Brother Ken Baird first, and Milo, you go in second. Milo Vandercroft second. And then Robert Crawford will finish. I told the folks this morning that I would like to take a few minutes just to give you a little the history of this assembly. And I hope I don't take too long, and I hope that it's rather interesting to some of you. I think quite a few here have heard it often. You can hold your ears shut if you care to, if you don't want to listen to it again. But my mind goes back to some 55 years ago, before there was an assembly started in this community, and before I knew of any Christians that gather as we do, were living here. And one man moved into this community who had a heart for the things of God. He was no public speaker, and I had occasion to go over to his house. In those days, I cared nothing for the things of God. In fact, I didn't want to hear about them at all. But it so happened that there was a girl I was interested in that was working at his place, and of course I wanted to see her. I had to go over there. And when I went there, he was bound to talk to me about the Bible. And I just wished that that old man would shut up. I didn't want to have anything to do with him, but anyway, that was in the wintertime. And that very spring, I had to get out and from home and work for somebody on the farm. So I tried to get a job at it with a farmer, and he wanted to hire a member. I thought, no, I'll not go there, because he talks to me about the Bible all the time. And so I tried everywhere else to get a job, and you know, I couldn't find a place to work. So I finally had to go over there and work for him. And he did talk to me about the Bible, but it wasn't as bad as I figured it was going to be. And to make a long story just a little shorter, that fall I got saved. He took me over to a little conference over at Berea. There was a little meeting over there. Donald Charles was just a young man, been saved a year or two, just starting to preach the gospel. And when I got over there, I remember he gave me a tract, God's Way of Salvation by Alex Marshall. After I got home, this man took me over there. He said, I didn't want to go over there. He said, come on, you're working for me and I'm paying you for it. You go along over. And we stayed two or three days. There were no cars, see. We had to drive over with our own team. Well, anyway, I read this little tract when I got home and I got saved. Well, I didn't do much about it. There was no assembly. I had never seen Christians gather. Didn't pay much attention to it. Only I was glad I wasn't going to hell. And I went home and told my folks. They didn't pay much attention to it either. It wasn't very long after that until in a little schoolhouse 2 miles north of here, Brother Don Charles and old Mr. Broadfoot came over and had gospel meetings. And the schoolhouse was pretty well filled with people. And about half of them got saved. And I was thoroughly disappointed. You say, why were you disappointed? I thought they'd all get saved. I couldn't understand how anybody could listen to anything like that and having it mean what it meant to me then and not pay any attention to it. But I remember a short time after that, wherever I went, it seemed that we got started talking about the Bible. I remember rather an odd scene. In those days, for recreation, where I lived, we played cards. And we went to the neighbors and played cards. And so one night, my brother-in-law and family went up to another brother-in-law's to play cards. And his brother was there, too. There were the four of us. So we started playing cards. And we had the cards all over the table, and somebody said something about the Bible. I was just pretty much of a kid, but I said, have you got a Bible? And they got one. We forgot all about playing cards, and I think it was after midnight when we quit talking about the Bible. I've often wondered what somebody would have thought if they had come in and looked at that scene. Playing cards all over the table in the Bible there. But God saw it. I don't know what he said to those men, but I'll venture to say that the Spirit of God had something to do with it that night. I mean, he said, you'd better pay attention to what that kid's telling you. I'm not taking any credit for the salvation, but I'll tell you this. There were four men around that table that night. Three of them are in heaven today, and this one's on the road there. And I thank God for it. These meetings at the schoolhouse, it wasn't only a short time till the brethren decided I had nothing to do with it. I wasn't paying any attention to it much. That we should start a Sunday school down 2 miles north of here and remember the Lord. And I remember the first morning that they were going to remember the Lord. I'd gone away the Saturday night before on my horse. There were no automobiles. And stayed all night with one of my friends. And in the morning, we got up and another one of the boys that I went with came down. We went down to the neighbor. We were shooting pigeons. And they sent word down. The telephone rang. Said they were going to have a Sunday school at the Lyman, at the Galleon School. And we're going to remember the Lord. And they wanted me to come up. And I said to those other boys, I said, why don't you come along? He said, I'm going. And so we went up there. And I remembered the Lord for the first time in that schoolhouse. And I might say that there's nobody here, nobody comes here anymore, that was at that meeting. I'm the only one left that was at that meeting. I think some are alive, but they're not around here. But anyway, when that meeting was over, those two boys, they sat in the back and watched. Looked on, we started down the road, and we went for about a half a mile riding our horses before anybody said anything. Part of them said, are you going to have to do that now, from now on? Well, I said, I'm not going to have to do it, but I wouldn't be surprised if I did. Well, I was still here this morning. That's 55 years ago. But anyway, it wasn't long after that until we moved up here and had meetings in a schoolhouse here at Lyman. A little different community. And some more got saved. And then the schoolhouse wasn't big enough. And at that time, there was an old creamery building sitting up here in the corner. It belonged to my wife's father. It was abandoned. It wasn't used anymore. Some of the machinery and stuff was still in there. Well, he said, you're perfectly welcome to use that if you want to. Well, there were no seats in it. And there was a big old churn in there. To this day, I don't know how it ever got out of there. I think it was about 6 feet in diameter and probably 12 feet long, and I have no idea what it weighed. But I'll tell you this, my wife, who was just a girl then, and her sister took it out of there. And they cleaned up the place. It was quite a place. Some of you might remember it. The floor sloped down like this in the middle, and then there was a ditch in there for the water to run out when they cleaned it out. But there was still no seat. But there were a lot of pop cases up here in the corner. So they carried pop cases in for blocks. There were bridge planks there. They carried the bridge planks in, and they made seats. We had gospel meetings. But God worked just the same. Didn't make a difference about the seats. And then, believe it or not, we finally got 102 folding chairs 50-some years ago. And the history of those chairs, well, they're allowed them down the basement still. And the Lord willing, we're going to take about 40 of them about next weekend and take them clear down into New Mexico to a man that needs them down there for the Spanish kids to sit on. But anyway, after a number of years, this building was 3 miles east of here and was for sale, so we had it moved up here. And we began having a meeting in here, and then I was going to tell you about those chairs. After meeting, they all just sat in there. And 5 minutes after meeting, you would have thought you had driven a herd of pigs through there. They just all went this way, you know. Before the next meeting, somebody had to straighten them all out again and get them in place. Well, anyway, when we got this building, we got the seats. That was much better. And down through the years, I'm might say a few things about what has taken place from here. I'm not boasting about it, but I just want to tell you how God can branch out with things. Quite a number of years ago, there seemed to be the need down south and east of here, a little group down there that were interested in being saved. And there was a schoolhouse down there. So some of our brethren from here went down there, and they gathered the children together, and their parents came too. And they started a Sunday school. And they began to break bread down there. And quite a number of people down there got saved. Well, after a while it was abandoned, but the work was done anyway for the Lord from here. Then this building began to get too small for the company that came. There were a lot of them from Atlantic. And eventually the brethren in Atlantic thought, we should have a place of our own. And the result is, well, if you'd have been there this morning, you would have seen about 150 gathered up there, an average on a Sunday morning, in a nice chapel up there. And then just a year or two ago, there seemed to be the need of a little work over east of here, about 6 miles. A schoolhouse was provided, and a group of people over there that, well, perhaps they wouldn't go anyplace else, but you could come over to them. When I speak about this, I'm always reminded of what they told me that Mohammed said one time. I don't exactly know who Mohammed was, but evidently a lot of people in the world worship him. And he thought he was quite a man, and he wanted a mountain to come to him one day. And naturally the mountain wouldn't come, so he said, then I'll go to the mountain. And it's about the same thing with the people over there. They won't come to us, but we can go to them. So we thank God for that work. Branch out, you see. And I might say that we're going a little farther. One of our brethren has bought a bus, and we're going to take it down to New Mexico and give it to that man that's working down there. He needs it. The Lord willing, next weekend, perhaps my brother and I will go along down. Well, the work of God can be scattered out in places like that by the children of God. And I want it for the encouragement of God's children. I want you to know that you can do something for the Lord. I know there's a common idea among us that if we could just preach the gospel good, if we just knew a lot about God's word, and we're able to speak in public, what a wonderful thing would be. I'm not taking anything away from a gift like that. But I'm telling you that you can do something for God. And for your encouragement, I want to cite you to a little thing that happened in the Bible that you know about. Do you remember Andrew, Peter's brother? Well, yes, you say I remember Andrew, but all I remember about him, he brought his brother to Jesus. He sure did. He caught a fish for the Lord. But did you ever see a better fish than that for the Lord? Didn't he catch one that day? Maybe if you just caught one, you get one like that. And I'll venture to say that there was a lot of satisfaction to Andrew as he saw Peter on the day of Pentecost preach. 3,000 souls got saved. Man, Andrew would say, look at him go. Listen to him preach. The Lord used me to catch him. God can use you, my brother, my sister. Now back to our building for just a moment. Here's what we have today. Thank God for it. It's quite an improvement over what we did have. We've turned the thing around, you see. Not on the outside, but the inside. We turned the basement around, too, just on the inside. Otherwise, it's just the same. But I trust that God will use it for His honor and glory, and that it might still be the birthplace of many souls. Thank you.